Walter's got a reading from John chapter 12. Come and speak to us, Walter. Thank you.
The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth. Unless a kernel of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it and will glorify it again. The crowd that was there and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, this voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. But I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. Amen. It's good to be with you tonight, and it's lovely to look at this passage. I felt drawn very much to it for tonight, and felt that this was something that God wanted to communicate to all of us, including me, because it's very easy for the preacher, I suppose, to think, oh, well, this is for them, but it's not. It's for all of us, and I need to have my ears open tonight as I talk, just as much as you do, in order that God might touch us, speak to us, bless us, and help us, all of us, before we leave tonight. And so that's the precious thing about it. And we've got this statement that says, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. And those who he spoke to, notice, were Gentiles. They were Greeks. In other words, he wasn't speaking at this particular instance to the Jewish people. The Jewish people are obviously included. But this was absolutely groundbreaking, because the Jewish idea was that God only ever spoke to them and only ever would. But here, the Greeks, it says, now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the feast. And they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida, with a request. Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. And he went and told Jesus. I suppose it would have been easy in some senses for Philip to simply say, that's not possible. And we need to have this kind of open mind that Philip had. Because God may come and challenge us at some point or other, who knows, to do something or to speak to someone that we think is unlikely. And we wonder whether we're hearing from God or not. But the way to test it is to turn to the Lord and to rest in him and let his teaching touch our hearts and let his teaching bring us to that place. Because he goes on to explain, Jesus goes on to explain, doesn't he? The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. And I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me. Where I am, my servants also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. That's the standard that God has called us to. It's the situation that God has called us to. We are to be his witnesses. And if you know Christ as your Savior tonight, you are not ruled out, and you can't exclude yourself, and I can't exclude myself. I need to recognize the fact that I am called to be a witness. Out there in the world, we all live in different places, but around us are people who need the message of the gospel. They are our mission field, and somehow we need, by prayer and resting in God, we need to allow him to open the doors for us. We need to allow him to teach us. down in Park Lane where we live, I go down to the art club on a Tuesday morning, which is down at Grange Hall. And I've considered it fairly carefully and prayed about it quite a lot. But I always take a couple of tracts with me. But I have it on the understanding that if God opens the door, and I know he's opening the door, then I'll give those tracts out, or I'll give one of those tracts away to whoever I'm talking to. The worst thing that could happen down there is for me to go down every week and be passing these things out all over the place. You just get a bad reputation. God doesn't want that. He wants us all, every one of us, to be his witnesses, but in the way that he chooses, and at the time that he chooses, so that in actual fact he is in control of our witnessing as well as everything else. And that's exciting. Because if we open our hearts to this principle, God is not going to leave us out. If you look back on your life now and ask yourself, how long is it since I witnessed? I don't know what you'll come up with. But you will know roughly how long ago it was. And God wants us to be under his hand, to allow him to deal with us, to allow him to open the door for us, and to lead us and to guide us specifically in these lovely things. And so we have this idea of being witnesses. And those who, as I say, they spoke to were Gentiles. They were not Jews. It's not God's own people only that we need to communicate with. It is those who don't know him. And that's the thing I wanted to emphasize, I suppose, at this moment. You see, when men and women really see Jesus, it is always transforming. If the Spirit of God works on that hardest person that you know, then their eyes can be opened inwardly, and they can be transformed inwardly. They might fight it. They might try to resist it. But the power of God is behind it. And that's what really matters. And if I am to be the witness he wants me to be, I have to rest in him to open doors and to use whatever he can and be ready. Have those tracts in your back pocket or somewhere and simply carry them, but don't go be the person who is giving them out all the time. And so that's the wonderful thing that God wants. I just want to make 3 points out of this reading that will help us, I trust, to be the witnesses that God wants us to be. And he does want us to be a witness. He doesn't want us to be Bible bashers, as I've said, but he does want us to be his ambassadors. And who knows where he will lead you and who he will give you contact with, or me for that matter. But if we have a heart that is surrendered to him on the question of witnessing, that can say, at the beginning of the week or at the beginning of every day, Lord, use me today as you will, then we shall be in a powerful place with God. And he will have his way. And that's what really matters in any Christian's life, is that God has his way in your life and in mine. And what he wants comes to pass. He will surprise us. If you like being surprised, then you're going to be surprised. You might also be scared. But who knows? If we're going to be witnesses for him, God has the power, and we can rest in him, and I mean that, we can truly rest in him to give us the ability and the strength to do that which he wants us to do, whatever it might be. And so if you've never preached in your life, but he wants you to preach, then he'll open some door, you need to run with it. That's pretty extreme, I'm aware of that. But you know what I'm saying? We need to be just resting in God, allowing our days and our weeks and our years to be in his hands and to allow him to meet us and to bless us in whatever way he will. We need to see Jesus, I guess, in 3 different ways. And I want to just go through those 3 ways so that we can carry these ideas away with us and we can find them as we're open to the Holy Spirit. We can find them in our lives in the days to come. First of all, we need, obviously, to see Jesus as Redeemer. He is a figure in history. He's a major, major figure in history. But that's not what he came to be. He came to redeem us. He came to take your sin, my sin, the sin of all mankind. And that goes beyond our comprehension, absolutely beyond. And to take it to the cross. So that he died on the cross for everybody. Not everybody receives him. Not everybody acknowledges him. But the door is open for everybody. And so as you think of your neighbors and feel how resistant they are at some time, then the door is open for them. God is able to do what you can't do and what I can't do. And we need to rest in him and rejoice in that. Because Jesus is more. He is a redeemer. He's more than just a figure in history. And he's more than a good example. He is a good example. He's a perfect example. But he is more than that. you see, the truth is that it's possible for someone to be in church for years and never actually meet Jesus. The doors are wide open. We rejoice when strangers come. But they can come and come and come and come again. And they don't have, they're not forced to come to Christ. They're not forced to be like you or like me, which is a relief. And it's one of those situations where we are able to see people in church coming in and coming to know Christ because it's his work and not ours. And that's something that we need really to base our understanding on. And we need to pray and be constant in prayer as members of this fellowship that when people come in, they will meet Jesus. They won't just sit on the back row and go out the same way they came in. But in some way, the Spirit will work in this place, in this building, and they will see Jesus and will meet Jesus. The same is true for your neighbors and your friends. They can see Jesus in you if God is at work. And you don't have to do anything special. You just have to live the life that God has called you to. And people will understand that there's something different about you. And they might come and ask a question, what is it that's different about you? Then you tell them, I know Jesus. That's what's different. God is able to do amazing things, surprising things, truly exciting things. The more I talk about this, and I've sort of preached this once before, but the more I talk about it, I feel, boy, I'm so glad I'm a Christian. The door is open for you and for me. Under God's hand, we can be his witnesses. Under God's hand, we can declare the truth. And if we rest in him, he will use us as he has planned. And he may well surprise us in some wonderful way. So Jesus, we see him as Redeemer. And we don't have to argue about it. We really need him as that. Our sins need forgiving. We need to be redeemed from them. But he's paid the price. And that's the lovely thing. And secondly, we come to seeing Jesus as a friend. And in Hebrews 13 and verse 5, it says this, never will I leave you or forsake you. And those words are, in Hebrews, attributed to Jesus. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. And, you know, if you look at the Bible in other places, it is a sense this continuity of Jesus, this commitment to him as our friend, is scattered right through the Bible in many different ways. And as we have eyes that are open, and as we read the Bible with this at the back of our minds sometimes, we may see something we've never seen before. I trust so. In Romans 8, it tells us that as our friend, he works in all things for our good. He works, let me repeat it, in all things as our good. That's an almighty statement. So he works in the dark times as well as the light times. He works in the tough circumstances as well as the easy ones. In other words, he is constantly at work in your life and in mine. We may not always be aware of it, but we need to take the Bible as it literally is and recognize that he works in all things for our good. In 1 Peter 5, we read this, that he cares for us. He cares for us. It's a staggering thought, but I matter to God. I may not matter to you, but I matter to God. And so do you. And so does everyone who comes in through these doors. They matter to God. It has to affect our welcome. Of course it does. Our attitude to strangers. They are welcome to him. They need to be truly welcomed here. And that's something which we can all do. If it's only a quick handshake, if it's only a pat on the shoulder as you walk by and say, nice to see you, welcome, then people are going to feel that. They're going to feel a welcoming place, which is exactly what church needs to be. And so God wants us to come in that way and be in this place. And as we are, to allow him to work through us in that way. And so Jesus is friend. And we can cast all our care upon him. And then finally, Jesus, seeing Jesus as Lord, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, if he is Lord in your life, and we so easily pray this, we need to recognize that his lordship requires us to keep his commandments, to do what he asks us to do. And the commandments are not just the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament. They are the daily issues that God brings to our mind at times, and we need to be obedient in it all. When he says, keep my commandments, he may whisper to you as you walk past somebody's door, and this is an extreme, and it's not going to happen very likely, but who knows. You can be walking past somebody's door on your way home tonight, or any time walking home or here to church, and he may simply say to you, go and knock on that door and give them a tract. Okay? I mean, that would be, in some senses, wonderful. But I'm feeling I need to be a bit careful here, because if I get all excited about it, it may happen. But who knows? God wants to use us. That's the point. He wants us to be part of his light. He wants us to be part of his witness, and he wants to work in all things in that way for our good. And so he says, with regard to his lordship, if you love me, keep my commandments. You see, obedience, walking with him, being daily obedient to the prompting of the Spirit, leads to fullness of life. It might be a bit scary, but you go and do it, and oh, the feeling afterwards is amazing. You know it is. And God wants us to walk with him. He wants us to talk with him. He wants us to allow him to open such doors as he pleases. And this obedience, as we listen to his promptings, as we do what he says we should do, as we prayed about it, then as we do it, God is going to be able to use us in ways which are beyond our comprehensions. You see, you don't look like it, I promise you, but then neither do I. You are called up, we are called up in eternal purposes. Eternal purposes. The way I spend my life and the way you spend your life in this life will matter for eternity. God wants it to be positive, obviously he does. But it's wonderful if we can come to the end of our lives. If we have a normal spread of life into our 70s or something, we can come to the end of our lives knowing that it's coming to an end. And we may well know that, on the other hand, we may not. But knowing that it's coming to an end and knowing that we have been his instruments. Knowing that we have been his tools, if I can use that word, in reaching out to others, in blessing others, in opening their eyes to the love and the grace that he has. You see, we are caught up in eternal purposes. It's part of our livelihood. It's part of who we are. And we must see ourselves like that. Privileged beyond comprehension in a way, but useful to God in the circumstances he places us in, as long as we are led by the Spirit, as long as we are being obedient when we witness, as long as we are going and doing his will in whatever way, shape or form that is. God wants us to have this wonderful, wonderful sensation that we are caught up in eternal purposes with Jesus. Amen. 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 That's better.